Gentlemen, I declare this briefing session open at 6:30 p.m. The proceedings of the briefing session are electronically recorded and a live broadcast will be provided in line with changes to the City's briefing session procedures, which were adopted by Council on the 20th of September 2022, with the exception of matters of a confidential nature, and the guide in determining those matters of confidential nature is in accordance with the Local Government Act 1995. First item of business is declarations of interest. I've received two declarations of interest from myself. The first being for item 12.4, change of use for 12 Lincoln Lane. It's an interest that may affect impartiality as some of the owners of that property are known to me. And a further declaration from myself for item 12.13, list of payments. Also an interest that may affect impartiality as I do some part-time work for Thompson Gear, but I do not work on City of Joondalup matters there. Are there any other declarations of interest, councillors? If not, we proceed to deputations, of which there are none. We then go to public question time. There's a set of procedures which relates to public question time, and I'll request that you follow my direction at all times. You'll have an opportunity to ask two questions. Your questions should be directed to the Chair and asked in a polite, respectful manner. Also, questions asked at a briefing session must relate to an item which is listed on the briefing session agenda. And finally, as per our meeting procedures, please state your name and address for the public record before asking your question. As is our practice, we've maintained a register for public question time, and I'll call forward first Mr. Peter Normoff.
Good evening. Peter Normoff, 17 Artgate Place, Duncraig. This is regarding 12.3, reclaim of some of the land on Whitfords Avenue Reserve. Will the changes in classification hinder or facilitate any changes in the use of that land? Especially in how would this affect any proposal to increase the number of car parking places, which is in dire need during the summer period where there's absolutely no parking whatsoever on any of the beach car parks.
Thank you. Director Lee?
Thank you through you, Mr. Mayor. No, none of the closures will result in any impact on the ability to develop parking or additional parking down at that location in the future. They're just cleaning up some land administration anomalies where some portions of road reserve are existing in what appears to be the Hillary's Foreshore Reserve at the moment, and so we're just designating those to reflect what their current purpose is.
Did you want a second question? No, thank you, Mr. Normoff. Does anybody else wish to ask a public question? If not, I declare public question time closed and we proceed to public statement time. There is also a set of procedures which relates to public statement time, and I'll request that you follow my direction at all times. You're able to make a statement for up to 2 minutes. Your statement should be directed to the Chair and also be polite and respectful. No question or discussion will occur at the end of your statement, and statements made at a briefing session must relate to an item listed on the briefing agenda. And as with question time, please also state your name and address for the public record before making your statement. Does anybody wish to make a statement? If not, I declare public statement time closed. Next item of business is apologies and leaves of absence. I have an apology from Councillor Vinciullo and Councillor Hamilton Prime and Councillor O'Neill on a leave of absence, as is the Deputy Mayor. Are any elected members requesting a leave of absence? If not, next item of business is confirmation of minutes, which will be dealt with at the council meeting, which is held on the 23rd of July, as will item 9, announcements by the presiding member without discussion. Item 10 is identification of matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. The following item may be dealt with behind closed doors if there are any questions on the confidential items. That is item 13.1.1, confidential CEO performance review guideline, which occurs at the end of the agenda in any event. Item 11, petitions. The city has received three petitions as follows. I'll just read out the headline. Petition in relation to the installation of Amplitel's telecommunication tower within the Ocean Reef Marina development envelope. A second petition in relation to the location of the 5-metre noise wall along Twickenham Drive in Kingsley. And a third petition in relation to a request for CCTV at the Timberlane Park clubrooms in Woodvale. Submitted petitions will be received and checked for validity and, if valid, will be presented to the council meeting held on the 23rd of July 2024. I'll now move to the report section of the agenda. Presentations will be provided on two items tonight, being item 12.2, the telecommunication infrastructure upgrade to the radio systems, which is associated with the Metropolitan Railway Network, and item 12.12, the parking local law 2023 and the undertaking. So I'll commence at the beginning of the agenda and work my way through. Item 12.1, development and subdivision applications. Any questions on this item? Item 12.2, Director Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Just briefly, this item relates to a public transport authority project to upgrade its rail network radio system. The program includes the delivery of new infrastructure throughout Perth across approximately 115 sites. Seven of these are located in the city of Joondalup, with the scope of works including the erection of monopoles ranging from 15 metres to 30 metres in height, as well as the installation of associated equipment, cabinets and associated additional infrastructure. The West Australian Planning Commission has advised us that the project is considered to be of state or regional significance, and therefore, as a result, the application will be determined by the Commission, with the City's role being to provide a recommendation. In forming its recommendation, the City has undertaken an assessment against its relevant planning frameworks and recommends that one of the locations be reconsidered. This is referred to as Site 78, which is located on Collier Pass at the southern end of the Joondalup train station. Collier Pass is a key east-west link through the Joondalup Activity Centre, with a view to being developed as a green corridor with active frontages and landmark buildings both east and west of the proposed Site 78. The City considers that the location will potentially undermine this aspiration of the Activity Centre and therefore recommends that an alternative location is sought. However, prior to any decision being made, the City also recommends that the West Australian Planning Commission, through the Department of Planning, undertake community consultation, and that will include writing to all landowners and occupiers within 400 metres of each site, including a sign at each development location, and also including information on the proposal on the Department of Planning, Land and Heritage's website. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Director Lee. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Chester?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The alternative site, I wonder if the director has anything really specific in mind, or is it just open at this stage and you're investigating?
Director Lee?
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. No, we don't have an alternative site identified. It's one that we wouldn't pursue and identify one ourselves, but we'd recommend that PTA, through its consultants, identify a separate location. There would be a range of factors that they'd need to take into place that we wouldn't necessarily be privy to, and so we thought it was best not to try and identify a site, but at just least identify that we're not comfortable with that particular Site 78.
Yeah, whilst acknowledging your explanation of why the monopole would impact on the Joondalup Activity Centre, I wonder if you could explain in a bit more detail why a monopole would... I mean, it's not really, a massive structure. Could you explain in a bit more detail why you think it would impact on any development on that area?
Director?
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. It's not solely the reason that we're concerned about its impact on a particular development or development site. The primary concern is the streetscape and character of that street that we're trying to achieve is one of fairly high importance for the Joondalup Activity Centre. It is really the key west and east-west linkage that's been identified to connect the west side of the Activity Centre from the Mitchell Freeway Reserve through to Easter at Lake Joondalup. The concern that we have is that in trying to achieve high activation along frontages, green corridors through the verges and the trees, with the planting of trees, the concern is the a piece of infrastructure of that size and scale wouldn't necessarily be compatible with that streetscape we're trying to achieve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Just some questions through yourself, if I may. The first one is about the telecommunications infrastructure that is going to be located on the monopoles. Do we have any understanding of what frequencies it'll be operating at or what type of infrastructure? Because it seems to be quite excessive to go for a monopole to put, you know, these particular radio systems on it if those could be co-located on PCA infrastructure.
Director.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not aware of the frequency intended at this point. I'm happy to take that part of the question on notice and see if we can find that information included in the pack for you. The understanding that we have is that the project is part of its upgrade to its rail network radio system. They're of the view that the current system, which I believe was developed in the 90s, is now obsolete or needs replacing. We haven't explored with the applicant or the PTA as to whether or not there's an alternative solution to what they've actually proposed.
Councillor Kings.
Thank you. Do we have any understanding if these monopoles are going to be used to locate other telecommunications infrastructure from Telstra or Optus or otherwise? As I said, to me it seems that the RSR project could be delivered on the PTA infrastructure. So is there another purpose or have we heard anything of that sort?
Director.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. We haven't been made aware of that, but I am happy to take that question on notice and query the PTA and their consultant team.
Councillor.
Thank you. And further to the Telecommunications Code of Practice, that's the Federal Code of Practice, I saw that there was a document which says they're compliant. Is there any requirement under that Code of Practice to consult nearby residences or provide a notification before this proceeds? Are we aware or can we find it out?
Director Lee.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to take that question on notice and provide some information. There's not a requirement under the planning application, under that particular code, to undertake consultation. We're recommending consultation be undertaken in accordance with our planning consultation, local planning policy, but there may be separate obligations they have outside of a legislated planning requirement that may result in them having to undertake some other notification or consultation as well, but we can have a look into that particular guide.
Councillor.
Thank you. And just lastly, these particular sites, has there been any discussion with the PTA about where these monopoles will be located on these sites? Because just looking at the diagrams, doesn't seem to be these are the ideal sites. So, for example, at Edgewater Station, Site 75, it would have seemed to be more common to locate, say, this infrastructure further to the south near the multi-storey car park rather than putting it right in the very centre there. It just seems to be the way that these sites have been chosen on the PTA land.
I will bring you back to a question, Councillor.
Yes, no, thank you. Has there been any discussion on these particular locations on these sites, or can we influence those sites?
Director.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. We can query the PTA as to why they've selected that particular part of the Edgewater Station site and not a site closer to the multi-storey car park. It may be the case that through their own site analysis they looked at it and it wasn't suitable for a number of factors. But as I said, I'm happy to ask them the question and at least explain that information or that decision-making if they have gone through that process.
Further questions? Thank you. 12.3, proposed closure of portions of Whitford Ave Road Reserve. Hilaries, any questions on this item? Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you again, Mr. Mayor. I'm looking at attachments on page 187. And the question is a matter of curiosity. I'm just wondering if the director knows why those two embayments, Title A and B on the map, why they were part of the road reserve in the first instance.
Director?
Thank you through you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know the specific history to it, but judging by the way they are shaped, and the Director of Infrastructure might be able to add some more after me, they do look like they may have been set aside as potential access points. They don't appear as though they've ever been used for that purpose. They always present as though they're bushland, but there might have been the land set aside for that. It may have been an intent back in the past that was no longer required, but Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I will see if the Director of Infrastructure has anything else to add.
Director?
Mr. Mayor, nothing further to add by the fact that at John Wilkie Tarn, which is directly south of location B, sorry, Councillor Chester, that is the access. So it's actually just moving that to further south to provide access, and that's where the access is. We're not going to change that access location.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Kingston?
Thank you. Just a short question for clarification. For the area which will be excised from the reserve, so that's part C on the diagram, can I just have a confirmation that that will be dedicated as a road reserve and not used for any other use, if my understanding is correct?
Director Lee.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the intent for part C is to be dedicated as road reserve.
Further questions? Thank you. 12.4, development application for change of use, 12 Lincoln Lane, Joondalup. Any questions on this item? 12.5, execution of documents. Any questions on this item? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. Just coming to the page in my pack. Yes, my question is about item 44, so that's the deed of novation and extension of lease with Community Vision Australia. Could I just get some understanding of what is the, how long is the further lease term which has now been executed? And as far as the novation, what rights or obligations have transferred in the deed? And then finally, what is the value of the building?
Director Klassen.
Mr. Mayor, I'll take that on notice and provide it back to ensure I provide the absolutely accurate data.
Thank you.
Further questions? 12.6, status of council decisions. Any questions on this item? 12.7, minutes of regional council meetings. Any questions on this item? I'll go Councillor Hutton and then yes. Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, questions just in regards to Mindarie Regional Council. I was wondering if the city administration has any official advocacy position when it comes to the use of, I guess, the treatment of the leach agent produced at the facility.
Director Klassen.
Three, Mr. Mayor. The city does not have an advocacy position. What we do, however, is part of the strategic working group, which is the technical group. We do get presentations from the MRC regarding some of the proposals they put forward, and that then goes to the MRC Council, which we have two representatives on, and we provide commentary on their reports to the city's representatives.
Councillor Hutton?
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, in terms of, I guess, any proposals or reports, do we expect to have an update at any point around what the current thinking is around the treatment of the leach agent in any timeline?
Director.
Through Mr. May, from memory, it formed part of the MRC's critical infrastructure plan in terms of specific assessments. I think there's a specific time frame looked at that. I'll take that on notice. I think it's in the current financial year, but I'd rather take it on notice, Councillor Lewis, and provide that in the packet.
Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. It's a question about how to go about something. I was looking at the list of payments, specifically the credit card transactions, And there's a list here for an overseas trip to the UK, which occurred from by one of the employees. So I just, could I have some understanding how to go about to inquire what was the trip for and which credit card it was charged to?
Which regional council are you talking about?
The Mindari Regional Council.
For Mindari. I think there are opportunities to put in questions on notice or public questions. I think that would be the better course. Also, as one of the representatives, I'm happy to forward that request on your behalf as well, Councillor Kingston.
Yeah.
So there is public question time that comes with them. So their own similar format, or alternatively, email directly and CC myself, Councillor May and Director Klassen, or we're happy to assist.
Thank you. I'll see what I can do. And then secondly, as far as putting motions to the Mindari Regional Council, I understand we have two representatives. If the Joondalup Council passes a motion saying that those representatives should put a motion to the council, does it require them to put a motion or not?
It does not formally require them to, but I mean, yeah, it's a hypothetical, but we would generally seek to represent the views of our council. So if something is the views of our council, I think it's highly likely that that would be put forward. It doesn't even, yeah, would be, in the short answer is it doesn't require them to, but I'd struggle to imagine a scenario where they wouldn't. Councillor.
Thank you. I just thought I'd foreshadow, but I will discuss this with other elected members before I do it. Possibly an alternate for a motion to be put to the Mindari Regional Council around elected member payments, because I think, first of all, if we have somebody who, if an elected member is unable to attend, somebody should be paid in its place. And secondly, I don't agree with the increase of the IT allowance from last month for an extra $1,500. So,
thank you. Councillor. Happy to discuss both of those further with you. In regards to the first item, I've sought further advice and I can get that provided for you as well if you wish. Further questions? Item 12.9, WA Local Government Association 2024 AGM Delegates. Any questions on this item? Councillor Kingston.
Thank you. It's actually about putting forward a motion. Is the best way to do that as an alternate? So if a motion is sought to the Walgar AGM, is the best to do it as an alternate to this item or as a notice of motion?
I don't know. What are you proposing, Councillor?
Yes, so the proposal would be that the WA Local Government Association will not seek to have local governments sign contracts which exclude elected members from having access to those documents.
I struggle to see what that's got to do with AGM meeting delegates, Councillor Kingston.
It goes to, the report goes to, in certain sections, about the motions which will be voted on as the AGM and provided then advice about how to then put motions to the AGM. And it's recommended that if an elected member wishes to have a motion to the Walgar AGM, it should be backed by a resolution of council.
Director Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question, Councillor Kingston. I think the normal mechanism for submitting motions through to the Walgar AGM is to have the council endorse the motion. And I think a notice of motion would probably be the most appropriate mechanism to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Before I go to yourself, Councillor Hutton, any other questions? Councillor Hutton.
Okay, just in regards to the selection of delegates, I noticed in the report there's obviously reference to who the current members are of the Walgar North Metropolitan Zone. Is there, I guess, any precedent or practice for who would usually fill those roles? I'm just noting that there isn't, you know, a direct recommendation.
Generally, it's myself and the State Councillor. Happy if somebody else, I usually attend regardless. If somebody else wants to go as a voting delegate, I'm happy to for them to. But generally, the Mayor is one, and if the Mayor's not the State Councillor, one of the other North Zone members, or in this case, the State Councillor is usually the other, but I'm relaxed about it personally. Councillor?
And just a question, I'm not sure if I missed this. Did we skip 12.8?
No, no, we are talking about 12.8 still.
Oh, sorry, I thought we were talking about 12.9.
I haven't moved to 12.9
yet. Sorry, my bad.
Hence why I asked Councillor Kingston.
I think you did move.
Oh, sorry, no, we are in 12.9. Mm-hmm. Yep, we are in 12.9. We did 12.8.
Sorry.
Any further questions on 12.9? Any questions on this item? 12.11, any questions on this item? Councillor May.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to foreshadow that foreshadow option 3 on page 71.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, item 12.12, parking law. Undertaking, Director Parry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Councillors. You'll recall that in March of this year, Council adopted the City of Joondalup Parking Local Law 2023, and the Local Government Act provides quite a detailed process for the adoption and review of local laws, which includes matters relating to public notice, consultation, publishing in the Gazette, and forwarding of local laws to relevant ministers. And one part of the process is to provide the explanatory memorandum, statutory procedures checklist and other supporting material to the Joint Standing Committee on Delegated Legislation, which was undertaken in June. The Joint Standing Committee has responded to the City that the local law requires amendment, requesting that the Council provide an undertaking with regard access to the Australian standards that are referenced in the local law and a few other typographical errors too. The committee's advised that these amendments will need to be made through an amendment local law and that the Council give this undertaken prior to the end of July. So a further report will now be required to be presented through the Policy Committee and the Council in due course with regard to those amendments. The proposed amendments might appear to be somewhat minor and inconsequential. However, the Joint Standing Committee does have that power to make these recommendations to us and to disallow the local law until those matters are resolved. The motion that presented is that's provided by the Joint Standing Committee. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Director Parry. Any questions on this item, councillors? Councillor Fishwick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that on occasions that minor typographical errors can occur, particularly in an organisation this large, and I'm guilty of doing that in my work environment from time to time, but my question is, was the proposed parking law vetted by the city solicitors? And if not, was it vetted by the city's in-house lawyer prior to being adopted and referred to the Joint Standing Committee on Delegated Legislation?
Director Parry.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Mayor. I'll have to, given that this is quite a detailed process that we underwent with regard to the parking local law, I'll have to do that check and provide you with a response within the briefing pack as to legal advice that was sought in relation to elements of this local law.
Councillor? My further question is that if it was outside legal advice, then perhaps we ought to seek reimbursement for them not acting in accordance with what they purport to do.
Further questions? Item 12.13, list of payments made for the month of May 2024. Any questions on this item? Councillor Raftus.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Page 513, HL Australia, there's about 700 plus thousand. Just wondering if we can have an update on the total payments for this process to date, please.
Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to take a question on notice and provide the details and the facts on Friday.
Thank you. Page 519, Joondalup Kinross Cricket Club cricket scoreboard for $23,800. Just wondering, is that part of any grants or is that just wondering on what structure that payment's made, please?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I believe it is a grant, but I'll take the question on notice and provide the details on the back.
Thank you.
Councillor Raptors.
Page 529, MP Rogers. It's about 20K. Just wondering if we could provide details around what that information or provision of marine and coastal engineering that was for, please?
Director?
Through Mr. Mayor, I'll take it on notice, but I'm aware that they're still doing work for us on the coastal monitoring exercise, providing advice on the sand bypassing, but I'll just look what that was specifically for and provide it in the back.
Thank you.
Last one, page 538, Philip Warren Scott, regarding Mullaloo Surf Club for about 9K. So if you could provide some more on that, please.
Director?
Yes, Mayor, it looks like it's the it's legal advice, but I'll take the question on notice and provide details in the back.
Further questions? Item 12.14, any questions on this item? 12.15, any questions on this item? And 12.16, any questions on this item? Councillor Kingston.
Oh, thank you. It's just a short one. It's, has the cricket club been notified that this report is on the agenda, and have we sent them correspondence that this is what we're considering at this month's council meeting?
Back to Humphrey.
Through Mr. Mayor, it's normal practice for us to notify the clubs involved when they make an application, but I will check with the coordinator in the morning and make sure that that has been done.
Further questions? Councillor Pizzi.
Just a few questions on, with the Chichester Park play facilities, one of the reasons stated is that the city is going to be doing the skate park at Chichester Park. Is that going ahead still, or is that on hold because of state government legislation on noise?
Director Classen.
Through Mr. Mayor, the city engaged with the state government, DIWA, the local member, and the city's acoustic consultants, and they are working through that process to get to progress that towards construction. So we're still working on that process. There are some minor changes required to the design to accommodate some of the acoustic impacts, and we're just waiting for that final acoustic report to inform the design.
Are we still expecting it to go ahead then in the time frame that it says in the information here, or are you expecting it to not go ahead in that budget year?
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, we are still aiming to deliver as per the budget.
When the city talks about that you're unable to, I'm just trying to find the exact wording because I've lost my sort of my questions. You say you're not able to do this application because, I'm just trying to find the exact wording. If you give me a second. Because you don't have the capacity to do so. Is that monetary capacity or is that administrative capacity? Because I'm assuming the project would be tendered.
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, no, not monetary capacity. Yes, there will be a monetary requirement from the city to contribute as well. It's assumed that if it's supported, that council would support the city's contribution. However, it is more the ability to deliver. Councillors may recall as part of the budget development process, we talked a lot about deliverability and the ability to attract adequate staff, resources, contractors, etc., to deliver works. But this is more the internal resourcing capability.
And sorry, at Kingsley, I understand that all the turf is being replaced in between the football season and during the cricket season. Will those cricket cages be accessible to the cricket clubs? Because I was just talking with the cricket club on this, and they were saying that they're not sure if they're going to have access to their cages because they've been told that all the turf is being replaced at Kingsley, so they're worried that they won't have those cages as well.
Director Humphrey.
Through Mr. Mayor, yes, there is work happening at Kingsley Reserve. We're not expecting that that area of grass will be directly impacted, so a portion of the cricket nets will be available. There are other nets in Kingsley and Woodvale that we can make available. Irrespective, these particular facilities wouldn't be constructed in time to resolve that issue, but we are working with the clubs, various cricket clubs, to make sure there's room for everyone to get to training.
And if the council voted to apply for this grant and we did receive it, I understand now that the capacity meeting is getting somewhere a tender to go ahead with the project. Do you think it would be feasible within the funds that are estimated there?
Director?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we don't have any particular concerns with the application. The application is fine. One of the issues with CSIRRF is you're expected to deliver the project within the specified financial year. The issue we have is we don't believe we can actually deliver the project in that financial year. The city has put in its recommendation that we could look at the following financial year and would support the club in making that application in the following year.
Councillor?
No further questions. Thank you.
Further questions? Item 12.17, Active Reserve and Community Facility Review. Any questions on this item? Item 12.18, Public Art Master Plan. Any questions on this item? Councillor Pizzi?
Just a question. If we adopt the Public Art Master Plan, would the council be able to change the budget for certain projects, or does it prevent leeway on changing the monetary value put to projects? For example, we already have the percentage for art schemes, so if we had this master plan put in, does it restrict council in what budgets they allow for art in the city?
Director?
It seems to me no plan can restrict the council from any particular action. It would provide guidance and assistance to council in making the decision, but council can amend its budget at any time, and you set your budgets in each June, so no, there would be no restriction on council making any decision.
Councillor Rafters.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question regarding the maintenance, the current budget. There's a reference to an annual operational budget, but do we have a figure for what it currently costs us to maintain our existing public art collection?
Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, to answer that question, I'm happy to provide the total budget or total expenditure for the past 5 years in the PACs on Friday. If that would satisfy the question, I don't have the exact figure to hand.
Further questions? Councillor Hutton?
Yeah, sorry, just for my complete clarity, by approving the Public Art Master Plan, are we agreeing to any additional expenditure on public art?
Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, with reference to the previous answer provided, there's no commitment for the council to necessarily put funds in future budgets. The plan seeks to provide guidance on how public art would be purchased and where it would be placed rather than commit additional funds. It is totally at council's discretion in future budget considerations to determine what funding is made available for public art.
Further questions? Item 12.19, Tender for Provision of Architectural and Specialist Consultancy Services for Sorrento Surf Life Saving Club Redevelopment. Any questions on this item? Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understood that these were going to be discussed confidentially, so... No?
No, this I have a confidential item being the CEO Performance Review Guideline, only if you have questions on the confidential attachment for the tender.
Well, I was going to query the structure of the tender, so I'll go ahead and you can cut me off with it.
That's fine, yep.
I'm just looking at the attachment on page, I don't see a number here at the moment, attachment 12192, and the
the preferred tenderer clearly won overall with a score of 84.7%, but was very much a low scorer on a particular category, which is social and economic effects on the local community. So I wonder if I could have a brief comment on where the preferred tenderer fell down in that particular area, certainly below the two on the list above were significantly higher.
Director Humphrey.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that particular category, social and economic effects on the community, really refers to whether a business is based in the city of Joondalup or how many staff it employs. The preferred tenderer employs one person. Some of the other companies are either based in Joondalup, have offices here, or the owners of the business reside in Joondalup. So they didn't score as well in that area, but that section only attracts 5% of the overall score.
Thank you. Further questions? Councillor Pizzi.
Sorry, just a last minute one. I know it discusses this and you've just discussed it a lot previously, but the actual track that we're tendering for is for like the plastic matting type track, is it? But because I'm just reading that the bitumen ones are not easily enough to maintain.
Director Humphrey?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think that might be on item 12.21, tender for the construction of the bike tracks, but...
Yes. Is this Sorrento Surf Club, Councillor?
No, it's not.
Thank you.
Sorry.
All good. Councillor Raftus?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Query regarding... on page 117, it makes reference to the existing surf club facility being partially leased to the surf club. Just want to be clarified as to what percentage is partially leased, because it sounds like it's a small part, but...
Director, confirmation.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to provide a drawing in the packs, but essentially the public facilities, the toilets and change rooms, I don't think form part of the lease. The remainder of the building is leased to the surf club.
Thank you. Awesome.
In the new building, would the change rooms be part of the lease or would they be public as well?
Director.
Through you, Mayor, subject to the final design and endorsed by council, there would be change rooms and toilets that are exclusively for the surf club and surf club members, but there would also be public facilities that would be maintained by the city and made available to the public.
Further questions? Item 12.20, Civic Centre chiller upgrade and replacement. Any questions on this item? Item 12.21, tender for the design, supply and construction of bike facilities for urban bike trails. I'll go Councillor Pizzi first, Councillor Chester, and then come to you. Councillor Pizzi.
Sorry, I jumped in earlier. Thanks for that. It was just a question on the actual track. I understand that the more natural gravel tracks are harder to maintain and cost more to maintain, but are we able to tender for those tracks with the information that how much it would cost more in the future to maintain so that we can make a decision on those two things? Because a lot of people in the community have talked about preferring a natural track over the plastic.
Director? Saying director because it could go to either. Director?
So, through Mr. Mayor, the current tender is for the design, supply and construction. So the construction tender is based on... rates for specific items. I'm not sure if that includes a clay type, non-asphalt type of track, so I will consider that and provide in the pack the details of what is included for the construction component in this tender.
Further questions? Councillor Chester.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just looking at the total... score for both of the tenderers, and I see that the preferred tenderer came a very poor second in terms of overall score, but they were clearly better value quantitatively. So I asked a similar question previously, and is the director confident that with that low total score being better value, I accept that. And I guess the question I'm asking is, what was the cut-off for the minimum score they needed to have in total to qualify as a tenderer?
Director?
Three, Mr. Mayor. The minimum score required was 50%. And thank you for the question. It's a very good question. I asked the same question at the evaluation panel. I have received reassurances from the evaluation panel that the company is qualified and able to produce the infrastructure required, and we have every confidence moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Further questions, Councillor Kingston?
Thank you. What information are we going to be giving the tenderers in relation to design constraints for the particular sites? Specifically in relation to Lysander Park, where the public consultation from last month had concerns, especially from the surrounding residents, and they were concerned about how the trail would be laid out on the site. So what information Director? Will we give?
Fair Mr. Mayor, the outcomes of the community consultation will be provided to the successful tenderer and discussions with them on how we might be able to mitigate some of the concerns raised through the consultation process.
Councillor?
Thank you. And similar to questions last month, will the council be able to see any of these designs before they proceed towards final construction, just to make sure those constraints are being considered and the possibility of alternate surfaces?
Director?
Three, Mr. Mayor. It's not proposed that it will be brought back to council, but it will be provided to the mayor and the ward councillors prior to the commencement of construction, yes.
Further questions? Councillor Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Prior to going to item 13.1.1, I just have in relating to what Councillor Hutton inquired, did we miss 12.8? And my recollection is that we did skip over it. And if so, could we reconsider that item for any further questions, please?
Absolutely, and I think you are correct. Thank you, Councillor Fishwick. I'll return to item 12.8. Councillors, any questions on this item? Councillor Fishwick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to propose an alternate that where it says an elected member, that it puts my good self in there, given my experience over 10 years with Mindarin Regional Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hutton.
Yeah, I did have a question around whether or not there's, I guess, any precedent for this and what the actual procedure usually is for selecting an alternate member in this instance. Obviously noting that Catalina is a completely different process.
Yes, this is very common. It's just the fact that we haven't neither member's taken a leave of absence for some time that's overlapped with the meeting. But no, this is the usual procedure where a report has to be brought up to council and then voted on each and every time for someone to deputise. There is a very lengthy reason why, including the fact, without getting into it, this is the reason the way it has to be, unfortunately. Councillor Hutton.
I suppose the follow-up question to that is, in the instance where there are multiple councillors, and again, this is me trying to understand the process, in the instance where there are multiple councillors who are suggesting themselves or someone else for the position, does it have to go through a motion, or is there a potential to actually have a vote on the matter?
There is the potential for a vote. It's not common. It's not usually one that people are overly keen to cover. Usually it's welcomed if there's interest.
Yeah, I suppose I would just foreshadow, given the heightened issues around the odour at the facility, there is an interest from myself as a North Ward councillor, and I imagine the Deputy Mayor as well as a North Ward councillor. I will flag I haven't spoken to him to attend one of these meetings. So I foreshadow that there may be multiple people putting their hands forward, but obviously not taking away from anyone else who wants to put themselves forward. There are just some sensitivities at the moment that are very, very topical in the North Ward, and I think it would be of value for the council to to send the Norfolk councillor?
Didn't quite get a question in that. I think that was more of a statement. I'm not looking for a question now, noted. Noting Councillor Fishwick's alternate that he's requested. Are there any other questions on the item? Councillor.
I suppose, again, not completely understanding the process here, I am flagging an alternate motion whereby a process may be used to actually have a vote on the matter as opposed to having to have a vote on an alternate and then vote someone down. I think that's an unnecessary process. I'm sorry to get away from government.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Probably the best way to resolve it is to call for nominations at the meeting itself and a vote be undertaken as to who my most preferred candidate may be. Otherwise, we'll be dealing with differing motions, which Councillor Hutton is suggesting there may be a third candidate for as well. So calling nominations and having a single vote would probably be the most easiest way of doing this one.
Thank you. Any other questions on 12.8? If not, that concludes the reports section of the agenda. We do have one report of committees, which is the recommendation from the CEO Performance Review Committee around a CEO Performance Review guideline. Thank you to our residents in the gallery for joining us. I will have to ask you to leave at this point, as this is a confidential item. Next item of business is reports of the CEO. Director Parry, any reports?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. None at this stage.
Thank you. Item 15 is urgent business, of which that item will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting. Item 16, motions of which previous notice has been given. Also at the council meeting. Item 17, announcements of notices of motion for the next meeting. Also at the council meeting. That brings us to the closure, and I hereby close the meeting at 7:33 p.m. Thank you.